I don't like this business of preaching to fans.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
You know anything else about soccer?
Not much. All I know is I got a lot of balls.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're in the stadium watching a game on TV. It's just the guy's not good enough. The guy is just not good enough.
Simon, I don't know if you're big into New Year's resolutions, but, you know, wondering if maybe you pledged to come out of your shell a little bit in 2015.
Kind of pisses me off, to be honest.
That's why he's here!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Extra Time Radio on Sirius XM Channel 94 and MLSsoccer.com. And from the get-go, I want to wish best wishes to both Andrew Riebe and David Goss. No, they have not been fired. Andrew is dealing with a broken ankle. David Goss is doing some color commentary, some play-by-play as well at the Generation Adidas Cup in Frisco. You can hear his broadcasts online, streamed on MLSsoccer.com. So in their stead, the group, the band is back together. Greg Lawless and Jason Seguini, those of you who've been with Extra Time back at its beginnings.
Yeah, way back, we're talking
about 4 or 5 years ago now.
Yeah, 5 years ago.
This was the team. Nick Fershaw was also part of that team, and sometimes it was a four-man crew, three-man crew, but this was the crew.
Just want to thank whatever fan out there gave Weeby the Tanya Harding to get him out of there and open up a seat for me. It's good to be back. It's good to be back.
How do we know it wasn't you? Just saying. Okay,
I guess you don't. I never got a goodbye episode. This is going to be my goodbye
episode.
Let's count this as the goodbye. Let's get into what this weekend has for us. Oh, by the way, on this show, we're going to have Harry Shipp of the Chicago Fire. He's going through a great moment right now in league play. Also, Jesse Marsh, the head coach of the New York Red Bulls. They are one of the stories of the early season thus far. This past weekend, we saw everything. What stood out to you, Greg?
I was struck by the late drama. Three games that were won after the 89th minute. Obviously, Real Salt Lake on Sunday night with their victory. Jordan Allen gets the goal in the 89th minute. Robert Earnshaw with his goal for Vancouver against Portland in the 90th minute. And by the way, he only played 3 minutes in this game, and he got the winner in his debut for the Caps. And Chris Pontius in the 93rd minute for DC United against LA Galaxy at RFK. And I was trying to figure out what it was that was causing this. Is it something about early season? Defenses maybe not gelling as much, maybe, you know, switching off. And I can't find anything. There's nothing that says it's this, which is why it's happening.
Well, I had a thought about that just watching the games. It's just, it feels like at the end of the game, the urgency rises. And you notice it in the play and in the goals.
I agree.
I think you can tell.
And for home teams in particular, that all of a sudden start to go for it. I mean, you know, I think that's part of this story in some ways.
The DC and RSL, for example, it's just the home team just trying to lump it forward, trying to get at the other team.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the thing that I – there's a couple things that I saw, but the youth kind of stepping up, right? We were missing a lot of guys. Guys were hurt. Guys were out on national team duty.
Jason, I missed you. I knew you were going to come with the youth. And the depth. That's Jason Staple.
Well, that's the thing is you saw it, and you saw the good and you saw the bad, right? You saw Kellen Acosta, who hasn't been playing a while, get red carded 20 minutes into a game. You saw Matt Miazga play a good game for the New York Red Bulls and help them to get a tough win on the road. Yeah, I do think that depth matters. I know, Simon, you don't. And when you have these young guys coming up and they're making an impact in the game, I think it's a good thing. The thing I was going to point out was from that Dallas game, though, Dallas went down a man, and the game changed. For me,
Dallas-Seattle, 0-0, by the way. Dallas still tops in the league.
And before that game on starting lineup, I had said, there's going to be goals in this game. You can trust me, there's going to be goals in this game. It's amazing how different that game became when the player went out. But see, Ziggy Schmidt said after the game, it made the game so difficult for them. They were up a man for a ton of the game, but they couldn't figure out how to break down FC Dallas. And I thought Dallas just did a great job of having Fabian Castillo up top to keep Seattle from getting too crazy going forward. They were afraid of Fabian Castillo, and I thought he was a very big impact player.
He's a game changer. He is a game changer, whether you have 11 men or 10 men or 9 men. He's a game changer. That's just the reality.
Look, there was something for everyone over this weekend. Kaká showing up in a big way, helping Orlando City to a 2-2 tie.
That goal was pretty something. It was pretty special.
He had a hand in two goals over the course of 2 or 3 minutes there. You had controversial calls. You mentioned the RL Salt Lake match in Toronto. They feel that they had a goal called back unjustly.
The thing
is
they got the goal eventually anyway, and they still gave it up. So I'm not sure I'm going to worry too much about that if I'm Greg Vanney, because they ended up getting the equalizer and they weren't able to
hold on. And then they switched off. Right?
The Red Bulls winning in Columbus, tough place to play. We'll get to that in segment two. But right now, we're going to concentrate on the Chicago Fire. They finally get their first win of the season over the weekend against the Philadelphia Union. 1-0 at home, and a big part of that game was Harry Shipp. He's their playmaker. With Sean Maloney out, he took the team on his back, and his assist led to the only goal of the game. And we're happy to have Harry Shipp right now on Extra Time Radio. Harry, thanks for taking some time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Harry, we got to start with this. One of the moments in the game that really struck me was the fans using the Shipp pun, and you know all the puns that come out of that word, and they're chanting, they're serenading you with this. How do you feel when you hear this?
Yeah. It's funny, my parents probably laugh more than I do when they're there and hear it. But no, it's good. I mean, it's a good feeling to have the fans behind you. And I think, you know, they did it some last year, and you know, it gives you some confidence to kind of, you know, go forward and make some more creative plays in the game to get them to say it again.
Harry, when you were growing up, did you follow the Fire? Were you a Fire fan? Were you attending games?
Yeah, I actually, I remember going back. I went to a lot of games when they played back at Soldier Field when I was really young. Frank Klopas was my club coach growing up, so I kind of had that connection to the Fire. So, you know, I'd go get tickets, and he knew a lot of guys in the MLS. So I remember, you know, I got, you know, game worn jerseys from random players. I remember having a Dima Kovalenko jersey. And then once they switched to
was there blood on that one, Harry? Was there blood on that Kovalenko jersey?
There was blood on it.
As it was there. That was the kind of player he was.
Yeah, I don't remember. But, and then I went to games, you know, during when Blanco was there, when I was more in high school. I went to games at Toyota Park Studios. I thought I definitely grew up a fan. I was connected to the franchise.
Now, Harry, one of the players you mentioned, Cuauhtemoc Blanco, and armchair analyst Matt Doyle, he compares you to him in terms of your style.
Yeah.
And, you know, during the weekend, I was reflecting on that, and I don't think that is too far off. Just in even the way you guys are on the field, the type of player, the gait that you have on the field, is that would you agree with that comparison?
Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of maybe body type, I weigh a little bit less than he does. But, you know, in terms of playing, I think, you know, he's so clever. And I think, you know, I'd say I spend 80% of the time during the game just, you know, thinking about how I can, you know, gain a yard or two or space in the future. And I spend a lot of time trying to cleverly set up defenders to maybe think I'm floating to one area of space and end up in another area of space. And I think that's something definitely, you know, in terms of we're both not the fastest people and not the most athletic, you kind of got to be extremely clever in terms of how you do get a yard or two of space.
Was he your idol growing up? Because you mentioned you were going to games as a kid. Who was the player you looked up to?
No, I wouldn't say he was my idol. I think, you know, I really did enjoy watching him play, but I think, you know, I spent most of my time soccer-wise looking up to someone like Andres Iniesta more than Blanco.
Now you're playing in a midfield with a couple more designated players that were brought in, one of which Sean Maloney. A lot of people have kind of said, you know, it's interesting seeing you and him in the same midfield. It's almost like you guys want to play the same position. Have you found any difficulty playing in there with him to this point?
No, I think, you know, people say that and have asked me that, but, you know, for me, I want as many good soccer brains on the field as possible, and I think, you know, someone like him is someone who's going to think through the game similarly to how I do. He floats in pockets of space, and he's kind of always showing up for the ball, and so for me, you know, I hate being isolated on the field. I don't want to feel like it's just me alone having to take people on. I think, you know, I like being near him on the field to be able to, you know, combine and hopefully, you know, find little pockets in front of the back four.
You know, Harry, I can't think of too many American playmakers who have been given the liberties that you have with the Chicago Fire so early. And I'm wondering, at any point in your path, in your path to get here, did you think to yourself, well, man, I really have a road to hoe here because we just don't get these opportunities for number 10s. Did you have any doubts in that respect?
I mean, you know, when I was in college, I was kind of told that that was never going to happen in my career. So, you know, figure out another way to get on the field. And, you know, that's why I started thinking about, I started, you know, realizing I was probably going to have to play outside mid or further back because I wouldn't really have that, you know, creative license. But, you know, it's been great. And I think for me, it's kind of, you know, the more responsibility and the more, you know, freedom I'm given on the field at any level I've been at, whether that's, you know, high school and college, you know, the more I've excelled. And I think, you know, as I go on in my career, hopefully I'm given more and more. And I think, you know, if I'm just kind of pegged in one role, I think, you know, I'm easy to defend because, like I said, I'm not super athletic. I'm not going to just run by people. But I think, you know, I you know, I'm able to gain advantage by showing up at all over the field and kind of, you know, whether it's behind the back four, in front of the back four, further back, I just, you know, that's where I'm going to really, you know, shine is given that freedom.
And which way do you prefer when you're lining up on the field? Do you prefer to stay out wide and come in, or do you prefer to start in the middle and then float out to the wings?
You know, I think, you know, ideally, I think I prefer to be starting in the middle and then being able to go anywhere. But I think, you know, on this team, I think, you know, in the course of every game, I've played pretty much, I think the last couple games, I've played both right, left, center, and underneath the forward. So I think, you know, I'm switching constantly throughout the game, and it doesn't really matter where I'm starting. I think whether I'm playing right, left, or middle, I think my heat map in terms of where I'm getting the ball is actually going to look pretty similar.
Wow, man. The armchair analyst is going to love you. You're talking about your heat maps and stuff. So
yeah. Hold on. Do you actually look at all those stats, all the finer stats?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have some match analysis things that we get access to as players. And I like looking at kind of where I get touches. And I think it's important to me. It's less important to me kind of left, right, or center. I think, you know, I want to get as many touches in the final third as possible because, you know, that's where – and I'm going to make my living, you know, going down in my career is, you know, my goal is to create, you know, 2 to 4 really good chances a game, whether that's for myself, for other people. And I think, you know, if I'm doing that consistently, creating 2 or 4 really good goal opportunities a game, I think, well, you know, I'm setting our team up for success.
Harry, it seems like you're a real student of the game. And I'm curious now, as you've moved forward in your career, have things changed in the way you prepare for games, in the way that you're spending the time in between games?
You know, I'm always going to kind of, you know, I get, like I said before, you know, my biggest advantage is going to kind of be to know the other team and study them. So I'm always going to be someone that's going to, you know, just watch teams for tendencies. And I think, you know, something more so this year than last year is I'm kind of more familiar with guys in the league. So I'm kind of familiar with teams and how they play and certain guys, outside backs, you know, how they step, you know, how hard they step. And so I think just kind of that comfort level when I have it more, you know, in the back of my mind, it's a little bit easier because I am familiar with those guys. So, you know, I'm always going to be someone that's going to watch film and stuff. But I think, you know, just picking up on tendencies of other teams is something that's going to be a lot easier. And it's only going to get, you know, better going forward in my career in, you know, 5 years from now.
Harry, you're basically the star of your hometown team. And when you have that kind of setup, there are perks to that. And I'm just curious, what's your most favorite perk being in Chicago and the star of the local soccer team?
I think just one thing is, you know, connection to young kids. I think it gives someone for them to kind of look up to. And I think I've spent a good amount of time the last year or so visiting with elementary schools, both ones from, you know, up in the suburbs where I went to school and some downtown, and just, you know, to kind of give them someone who's from Chicago who kind of went through a similar path growing up that they did. I think, you know, that's probably the biggest thing on top of having, you know, my parents and family and friends nearby to come to games. Those are probably the two biggest.
All right, Harry, well, let's get to a really big question here for you. We got to talk about the national team, all right? So, you know, we've seen in January camp especially, we saw some players that from MLS who sort of were brought in, got their first call-ups, that kind of thing. Have you had any conversations with the national team set up? Is there any indication of what you need to do to be a call-up for Jurgen Klinsmann's side?
No. It's funny because, you know, I've gone my entire life, you know, with youth national teams, you know, just kind of hoping I'll get a chance. And I've honestly never heard anything from anyone at any level concerning that. So, you know, it's something that drives me to get better. You know, obviously not there yet. Hopefully I am one day. But for right now, it's just going to be something that's going to motivate me to keep working harder and kind of refine my game because, you know, I am a little different than most American soccer players.
But why do you think they haven't called you? Do you think there's something, you know, about the way you play? What is it, you think?
I don't know. I think, like I said, I'm not super athletic. I'm not going to blow you away if you watch me for 5 minutes. But I think, you know, I'm someone that's going to, you know, be consistent in terms of creating chances. And I tend to mold myself more after European players that aren't necessarily physically gifted. And I think that's something I'm going to continue to do. And whether or not, you know, national team stuff comes or not, I'm going to continue to be the same player I am because that's what's got me to where I am today. And that's what I think is going to help me grow in the future.
Harry, we wish you the best of luck with that national team pursuit. Keep being you. You're entertaining to watch. But before we let you go, one last thing. We started the interview on the ship puns. I don't know if I asked you, what's your favorite ship pun of them all? And go ahead and say it as if you're on satellite radio, which you are.
My favorite ship pun, I don't know. I kind of like that ship Cray just because, you know, they made Section 8, you know, with the fire, made some T-shirts last year that were pretty funny with that on it in my face. So I kind of like that one.
But that's not so scandalous, right? Is it?
No, it's less. Yeah, exactly.
Come on, don't put him in a scandalous situation here. Come on.
Harry, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much, guys.
Later, Harry.
Thanks to Harry Shipp there. And guys, what do you think? We ended on the national team conversation with Harry Shipp. How far do you think he is from getting a call-up? Should he be on the team?
I think it's a tough year because they're already kind of in the cycle to prepare for Gold Cup, and I don't know that you're going to bring someone in that's going to jump in and play in Gold Cup right away. But maybe after Gold Cup, later in the year, if he's kept this up, he's going to force Klinsmann's hand and bring him in, no?
He said something really interesting, which is that he doesn't look like your typical soccer player. He's like, I'm not athletic, he basically said, right? Or I don't look athletic. And I think that has hurt him, you know, because it takes someone to look past that to say, wow, he's very, very effective, though. And it takes a certain coach to be able to see that and to be able to notice and recognize and be okay with that and just put him on the field.
I mean, Jose Torres got plenty of looks at the national team. That kid is not athletic.
No, I understand that.
Although he's not in the mix anymore. So if we're comparing Torres to Shipp, I don't know if the current setup and how Klinsmann wants to play necessarily fits Shipp's qualities.
Well, the funny thing is, though, that this idea of that you're going to play this proactive, you know, very attack-minded, we're going to be all 11 forward, all 11 back, that kind of thing, style that Klinsmann professes to want to play, Shipp actually fits that. He wants the ball. He's a guy who's always wanting the ball. He wants to be pressing the game. So in some ways, he's actually the perfect guy in terms of mentality. Yep. But I just don't know if Klinsmann knows – would know where to put him in this mix, a lot of because of what you're saying, Jason. He's already got his team.
Let me ask you, would you rather have Harry Shipp or Lee Wynn?
That's a very interesting question. And you wonder if Lee Wynn, his time with the national team, is not going to be what people expected because, again, his style of play. I don't know that the national team right now wants a playmaker on their field as part of the team. I don't know that the system lends itself to playmakers, is what I'm saying.
It's not. It certainly doesn't lend itself to a free electron, if you will, who's allowed to just sort of do his thing.
Neither of you answered that question. Shipp or Wynn?
I mean, man. Win when he's
for
on
what?
His, when he's on
for
his
what?
Game.
For a friendly or just any game or Gold the, Cup? Bring whatever. Him into Gold Cup.
U.S. Mexico.
For this U.S. Mexico game?
Friendly, yeah.
Lee Win.
Okay.
Win when he's inspired. I think Ship is more consistent. He has that bit of magic in him every.
But game. I would bring Ship in for the Gold Cup.
Over time,
the over, over Lee tournament. Win. Over yeah, just get him that experience. You've got a longer tournament. You need, and is a guy who I think could, and especially against a lot of the teams from CONCACAF in particular, where having his abilities, I think he might be a little tougher in that way. He's not going to get crushed by Lee Win.
Yep.
You know? So the way Lee Win would, I mean? So
let us know what you think. Should Harry Ship be in Jurgen Klinsmann's plans right now? Should he be in the national team? You can tweet us at Extra Time Radio on Twitter. Tweet at us or email us, extratimeradio@mlssoccer.com. We're coming back after the break with one of the other big stories of this early MLS season. Jesse Marsh of the New York Red Bulls. We'll have a conversation with him after this.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hi, I'm Benny Failhaber of Sporting Kansas City. MLS Cup was sweet, but there just isn't anything better than listening to Extra Time Radio. There, I said it. How much do I get paid?
We think he's still a friend. Jesse Marsh, head coach of the New York Red Bulls, about to join us here. I know you guys want to hear it. You're looking at me like I shouldn't be talking over this song.
I'm cool with it.
You're cool with it? You just want to sing around, sit around, dance, and sing it? Come on. That's a great song, by the way. Everyone knows that song. You have to know that song. Come on.
Wait, do you
know that song?
Yeah, of course.
Rick Springfield.
Even I know that song.
Rick Springfield.
Rick Springfield has a couple of other good songs. Does he have the Oh Sherry song? Is that him?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Oh Sherry? Like, oh Sherry.
Yeah, that
Sherry.
One. Isn't that him too?
No, it's not.
Well, Jesse Marsh would be proud to know that we've introduced him with this music. We're going to talk Red Bulls here. New York Red Bulls atop the Eastern Conference after winning in Columbus. Not an easy feat to go into Columbus against that kind of crew team and where they are now with they're even stronger than they were last year. And they do it convincingly. And I know you can't take any result too seriously this early in the season, but
I can take two in a row, can't you? When you count last week well against DC United.
Good. Yeah, they're looking
a
good.
A DC United team that then went out and beat the LA Galaxy over the weekend. Right? So, I mean, two in a row.
New York's just – they're playing differently than we've seen for a long time. And it had been – I want to use the word unbalanced. It had been unbalanced in New York for so long because everything had to go through Thierry Henry. And when Thierry Henry was down, the team was down. And when Thierry wasn't creating opportunities, no one was creating opportunities. And it just – feels so more balanced when you watch them. It's like they have options. It's not, hey, where's Thierry Henry? I got to get him the ball. It's move the ball around until something opens up. Let Lloyd Sam use his speed. You know, get it to Sasha Kljestan and let them combine through the middle with Felipe. Like, it seems like such a different team. And I'll say this: I think they're going to be even better when Mike Grella is playing and playing from the start. I think Sal Zizzo has been a little bit of a I don't know.
But he gives him that speed down the flank. It gives him that speed.
I don't know that it's been productive for them so far.
It hasn't been productive in that way, and he should have had a goal, actually, on that one cross that came in. But he gives him that thrust down the wings, opens up that space to allow Kljestan to slide to one way or another if he needs to.
I do agree with Jason in this respect. I feel like the shackles are off. Like, players are playing with a little more freedom. I mean, I see Bradley Wright Phillips. He's playing with more energy than I've ever seen him play with the Red Bulls.
Well, I think that it's that, but it's more that they're playing more as a team.
Yes.
You know,
I
think that's what Jason was getting at in the beginning, too, with everything had to go through Thierry Henry. And so you see them working for each other a lot more as well. So Bradley Wright Phillips is working really hard, but you see everyone working for each other. You see when Matt Miazga, who's stepped in pretty admirably, I say, at center back, given his youth, he's come in, he's done fine. When he's made a mistake, there's been someone there to say, hey, don't worry about it. Luis Robles is, you know, he's given a pat on the back.
There
seems to be
a good
spirit. And by the way, Luis Robles, to me, right now, the best goalkeeper in MLS.
Interesting. So. Well, let's see how exactly Jesse Marsh has done this. Joining us now on Extra Time Radio, it's the boss of the New York Red Bulls, Jesse Marsh. Jesse, how you been?
Been good, guys. Good to be back here with you. Reminds me of the summer a little bit. But we're talking MLS now. You wouldn't let me talk MLS in the summer. Now we're talking a little bit MLS.
Well, let's get into MLS. Jesse, I'm assuming you, because you're the coach of this team, the start doesn't surprise you, but does it?
I would describe it as we're ahead of schedule, where I thought we'd be. And, you know, the reason that we are is the credit goes to the players. They've adapted and they've accepted me and my staff and our philosophies and our challenges. And they've responded in a great way. They believe in what we're doing. And every day they come to work and they work so hard to try and become a better team and become better players. So it's been a real pleasure so far to work with these guys. And I told them from the beginning that I could see that we had a good group of young men and that was going to be the strength of what we did, that we were going to try to do things as a team and soccer-wise, have a lot of sophistication in the tactics set and in the way we play, but it was really going to come down to the people in the room. And so far, they've shown that's the case. And so right now, I'm excited to coach these guys, and I'm proud to be part of them.
And Jesse, you mentioned it, working as a team. And if the biggest compliment a coach can get is when you're told that your team just looks like a team. They're working together. And we were just talking about this before you came on, that the Red Bulls do, in fact, look like that. What have you done, though, in these 2 months that you've had the team, 3 months, to get this spirit, this camaraderie with this group?
Well, we emphasized from the beginning that we were going to do things as a team, and that, you know, without referencing years past, that we felt that any time a team is successful in MLS, it required that team to be a team and to know how to play with each other and know how to play for each other. So that was clearly the emphasis from day one. And from talking to all the players that had been here in the past, that's something they felt that they were yearning for. And that's who I am, you know, I mean, that's what I've always believed in. And I was never a great player, but I was a guy who could figure out how to win because, I helped make my teammates better. And so that's what I've tried to do as a coach. And, you know, I mean, again, they ate it up. They wanted it. There was a hunger for that here. And so, then as that progressed, we every day have tried to add sophistication. We've talked a lot about the tactics and how we move as a group and how we want to defend, how we want to press, what we want to be like when we have the ball, ideas on the field. So, you know, every day has been a lot of hard work, and we've tried to squeeze as much out of every day as possible. But it's a smart group, man. They're intelligent players. They're talented. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun so far just because everybody's in it together, and the response to everything that we've done has been great.
Jesse, I want to take it back to this game against Columbus over the weekend, and coaches get credit when they make the right substitution. And obviously when Mike Grella walks on the field and scores seconds later, you did something right. So what did you tell Mike before you got him in, you sent him in there? And then also just in general, what kind of player is he going to be for the Red Bulls this year?
I told him to keep an eye on the keeper that he might be able to chip him.
Coach of the year. Done.
No, listen. Mike, there's clarity. You know, we try to create clarity on the field so that you know your roles and you know when you play in certain spots on the field, what that's supposed to look like. Mike has been so good for us this preseason and in the early parts of the season. And his flexibility, he has such flexibility to his game. He can play up top. He can play on either wing. He can play underneath a striker. And so he's got so many good talents, and he's got a soccer feel to his game. So we try to have energy in the way we play. And certainly when we bring guys off the bench, we want them to come into the game and bring energy. And you know, Mike obviously did that by scoring the goal, but also did it. He put an imprint on the game from the first minute because he was sharp. He was active. He covered ground. He made it hard on the guys that he played against, and he connected plays. So, that having Mike here has been one of the pleasant surprises of this early part of the season and preseason.
All right, Jesse. So it's still early, though, in the season. I mean, we're only three games in. We could sit here and praise you to the high heavens, I guess, for being undefeated, but it's only three games. What are the things that you have not enjoyed watching? What are the things that you think still need to be improved upon in your side going forward? You have a bye, so you have 2 weeks off. Kind of, what are you going to be working on to improve upon?
Yeah, for me, it's, you know, for the first point is that I've tried to make sure that every day we play and every day we train, that we continue to emphasize the things that we think are important for how it's going to look on the big field. And, you know, every day then we try to look at it in levels and in building blocks. And so, you know, there's little things that I think we need to improve on, but the biggest positive is that every day we've played from the beginning. I mean, when I first introduced how we were going to play and the tactics and everything else, the players grabbed it and ran with it. Now it's just a matter of being even sharper and taking it even another level. So for as much of a grasp as we've had on certain games early in the season, I still feel like we're not clinical enough around the goal and not doing a good enough job of making sure that our good chances get turned into goals and that our half chances get into full chances. And then we still manage to give up big chances. So, you know, we're still trying to find ways that even when we're pushing the game and playing in their end, that when we do have breakdowns, that they don't automatically lead to huge chances where Luis has to bail us out. And then, you know, we've gone up a man twice late in games and still managed to give up chances. So we're still trying to figure out how to be a little bit, have a bigger grasp on the game when we're a man up. So these are all things that I think are normal and a progression, but you know, those are things that I think we need to keep pushing.
All right, well, so you talk about not finishing your chances as much. We have to talk about Bradley Wright Phillips in that case, because obviously last year he finished a lot of chances that came his way, scoring 27 goals. I personally have not been as impressed as everybody else has been with him this year. He is working a lot harder than he has in the past. He's got a couple of assists. It's almost like he's doing other stuff this year. What's your take on Bradley Wright Phillips so far in the season?
I think Bradley's been fantastic. And, you know, I think what he's showing this year is that he's so much more than a goal scorer. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to do that without sacrificing his chances around the goal and his ability to finish plays. So as much as I think, you know, there's questions, like after the first game, there were questions that Bradley didn't get a shot and how is he going to score 27 goals again? I think his focus mainly is on the team winning and trying to figure out how to fit within what we're doing and how to become a better player. And in those ways, I think that he's been fantastic and his intelligence has shown that he can set up plays, he can come underneath, he can run along the line, he can be available in the box. I mean, the first day of training, I watching Bradley, I was so impressed with all the little things that he does well and the work rate he has. I mean, you're not going to find many big goal scorers like him that work as hard as they do and are willing to do all the little things to help the team win. I mean, honestly, he's one of the most humble guys I've been around, and fully, I can say this, I mean, they say this sometimes about strikers, but they don't necessarily mean it. He cares about the team, and he cares about winning, and he cares about the right things, and he has been an absolute pleasure to work with.
And Jesse, to me, it shows. I think Bradley Wright Phillips under your tutelage, I think is a different player. The last
three games,
I know.
Give it a full season now.
The other guy who I think is more engaged than I've seen him in the past, Lloyd Sam. And
that's
we've
true.
Heard about how you're telling him to do different things on the field, but he's a lot more danger. This guy looks like he can be a danger guy the entire season.
Yeah. First of all, I will say that Lloyd has a personality, you know, and I don't think that I didn't know that from watching him play last year. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought he was just sort of a guy who would wait down the line and get the ball to take guys on. And when I got to know him early on in preseason, I like him. I think he's funny. I think he brings energy to the group every day. He's an interesting guy and it's in his game too. And I felt like early on, I wanted to see his personality coming out more in his game, and I think it has, you know. And I think Henri was good for a lot of these guys because he plays at such a level, high level, and he thinks at such a high level. But I think his personality was so strong that it didn't let a lot of guys on the team blossom in the way that they needed to. And I think that they're all excited to now show that they have so much more to give, okay, to the team, to the fans, to everybody. And so you see that in Lloyd. And all we've done with Lloyd is just ask him to be more multidimensional and move around within the game and pick up on more cues and be harder to play against in his movement and his ideas. And be harder to play against without the ball. And he believes in it. And, you know, I mean, again, he's another guy that has just been such a great, great guy to work with.
Jesse, before we get you out of here, on a news note, we saw the comments you made to BigAppleSoccer.com about the U.S. national team. And you talked about that you're not sure what the identity is right now for the national team. Curious if you can elaborate a little bit on those comments.
You know, I mean, I think those comments have been blown so out of proportion, and you know, they were more casual in nature than me trying to indict anybody with the national team. You know, and I understand how hard it is through these cycles to try and integrate new younger players and give them a taste of what the national team is about. And for sure, I'm a fan of the national team, you know, so I want them to do well. I want them to succeed. And I think as a fan, I think my comments were made more as a fan than as a coach. It's just trying to see, you know, can we see the team progress and can we see the team move along? And now when young players get integrated, have them show that they understand what the level's about, but also show what their roles are on the field. So, you know, I mean, I hope that the summer goes well in the Gold Cup, you know, and I still expect us to put good teams on the field that can compete, and I want to see young players be successful there. So, and I think Jurgen, you know, the one thing is he does show faith in young guys. I mean, he showed that over the World Cup, and again, I think that's an important part of the cycle. Just like I talked about with our team, I think he's trying to find young guys that can compete at that level and can help the team be successful.
No question about the identity of the Red Bulls under Jesse Marsh, off to a great start here in 2015. And Jesse, you guys have a free weekend now, an open weekend, a bye. What are you doing? Anything special? Any trips you're taking?
No. I mean, we'll give the players a weekend off. Some of our younger players will play in the USL Pro game. You know, we'll watch games. And, you know, try to continue moving the team forward. But so far, it's been a lot of fun, but we've got a lot of work to do.
Work continues for Jesse Marsh. Jesse, thanks for taking some time out on Extra Time Radio. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Later, Jesse. Well, look, you know, Jesse's speaking as a fan of the national team in this scenario is what he said. So, but I agree with him. There is still a question about what the identity of this team is. There's been a lot of talk about how defining the style of play. We talked a little earlier about the style of play and Harry Shipp and how he might fit into this. But I agree with Jesse Marsh's remarks about the national team in that it's still trying to find that identity. And maybe it's just that for Klinsmann, it was a much harder, longer process than maybe we expected it to be, or that he expected it to be in those ways. And that it's just going to take longer to identify what the identity is.
I don't know. I mean, I think they figured out the identity.
What is it?
In the World Cup. They've kind of now moved on to, we need to figure something else out because that didn't do it.
What was the identity in the World Cup?
I don't know. That's a good call.
Because it looked a lot like the identity of 2010 and 2002.
Yeah, like the underdog. The overachieving underdog. Right. Work hard,
by the way. And all of a sudden you put a DeAndre Yedlin in and let him, you know, race down that wing. I mean, Yedlin basically played the Kobe Jones role, if you will, in some ways, and getting down that wing and hitting that. It hasn't really changed all that much. And maybe now is when, because we saw in the friendly against Denmark and stuff, trying to change things a little bit more. I don't know. I guess that's probably the more frustrating thing, is we don't know still.
But I think what Jesse Marsh said in that interview with BigAppleSoccer.com, I think summarizes what I feel about the U.S. national team right now, which he went on to say, to me, it looks like a bunch of guys kind of thrown together on the field. And it's that lack of cohesion, and I think that's what's costing them We're talking about all these
late
goals that they're giving up.
But
it's because of the lack of cohesion.
Do you care that they gave up a late goal against Denmark? I mean, an hour later?
What I care is that I don't see the look of a team that's anywhere close to, let's say, where the Red Bulls are at. We're talking about how well the Red Bulls are playing as a team.
Sure. The Red Bulls have had 3 months together to do all this. I mean, the question is, of this ultimately comes down to what happens in the Gold Cup. Right. So once he gets his Gold Cup team together and he's got them for 10 days or whatever, and they train that way, and it's going to be a lot of the same people from the World Cup that are going to be on this Gold Cup team. At least I would assume so. Right. So there will be guys with a little bit more history together. I don't care about the Denmark game.
Oh, you say that now.
I don't.
You say that now. But
I don't.
They are coming up for them. They have. Obviously, the match against Switzerland on Tuesday, March 31st, 12 Eastern on Fox Sports 1 and Unimas. And then you know that they're coming up against Mexico.
Yep.
Then they have all those tough games against the Netherlands,
yep.
Germany.
They've got these games.
So if you don't come away with something positive that you can, as a fan, and even the media, something you can throw at them to chew on, something mm-hmm. positive to get them off your back before the Gold Cup.
Right.
I just don't think you want the pressure of the world going into a Gold Cup group stage that has the potential to be tough.
It does. I don't disagree with you.
So you're saying, it's not important to you, these games.
The result is not important to me. Right? It's about how they play. And I actually thought in Denmark against, in terrible conditions, ultimately, right? I'm not that disappointed with the performance in general. The result is the result. I'm not thrilled with the defense at the end of the game, losing concentration like that, and that's something to consider. But overall, the performance, not so bad. I thought Josie was pretty good.
Hmm.
So I'm not as concerned in that way.
I would want to see us have more of the ball. I mean, it didn't feel like, even when they had the ball, it wasn't like productive with the ball.
Yeah.
And that's what this team is supposed to be, or that's what Klinsmann is supposed to be making this team. And I don't know. I mean, I struggle, like I think you asked when we were prepping for the show, what's one thing you want to see?
Yeah.
And I couldn't think of it. I was looking at the roster. I was thinking about the game, and I was like, man, what do I want to see out of this group? And I couldn't put my finger on it.
It's an interesting
dynamic.
Like
a hodgepodge, and it doesn't feel right, and I can't put my finger on why this group doesn't feel right.
It's an interesting dynamic going on with the national team. We'll get the next glimpse at the U.S. national team on March 31st. That's a Tuesday at noon Eastern time from Zurich, Switzerland. Fox Sports 1 Unimas. And we'll be back, obviously, later in the week to talk all about that one. But for now, we're going to take a break, come back, and do the mailbag with Greg and Jason.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
This is Brad Evans from Seattle Sounders and U.S. national team. You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
Back on Extra Time Radio, SiriusXM, Channel 94, and MLSsoccer.com. We're up to the mailbag here, where we hear from you guys and what's on your mind. And the throw-in was on one fan's mind.
But before we get to that, Simon, we're gonna go with the theme of the music here. And this is
tell me, otherwise I would have teed
you up. Well, that's the whole point. This is from David Christensen in Orange County, California, who is a slightly encouraged Chicago Fire fan. So this episode is perfect for him. But anyway, he says, look, with MLS growing and the stadiums and atmosphere improving, it would be fun to go on a stadium tour this year. If you guys had to pick 5 stadiums to go to, which would they be? Sags, go.
All right, Portland.
Pick one.
Sporting Park. San Jose, which he missed because Chicago just played there. Yankee Stadium and Red Bull Arena, those are close to each other. There's history. Yankee Stadium plus Red Bull Arena is one of the better ones in MLS.
There, he gave you 5. I just think don't miss the Yankee Stadium Red Bull Arena combo if you can.
I would also, I'm going to throw Orlando in there and say go to a game in Orlando. Wear purple. It's better to wear purple.
I would wait until next year until they have their own stadium. So.
Lindsay in San Diego has an interesting question because I always catch myself, but her thing is derby. You know what a derby is. And her issue is that pronouncing it derby. So a derby is intra-city rivals face off. So, for example, New York City FC, New York Red Bulls, when they face each other, it's a derby because that's the way it's said in soccer. But why are we calling it – why are we saying derby when it's spelled derby?
Seriously, you brought me onto an episode to talk about pronunciation? Do you think that's maybe the wrong
– She contends – you know, we Americanize every other soccer term, but why do we mispronounce derby? I think, well, let's start it on the show. Let's, from here on out, we're going to say derby.
Why?
Call us ignorant. But why?
Why? What does it matter? What does it matter? It's we all know what everybody means. I'm very flexible about communication, the way someone pronounces it. If people know what it means, then we're fine. I don't want someone to think the New York Derby is a horse race, you know, out at Belmont. Maybe. In America, in particular, a derby
call that the Belmont,
is a race,
Greg.
Right? They have other races other than the Belmont out there. But a race is a derby. That's what we have here, right? But this is a different word. It's a different thing. It's a match between...
But it's not a different word. It's the same word.
No, it's just spelled the same way.
Speaking of the same word, let's move on to the next question.
Great, here we go. Here's the next question. this is about throw-ins. This is one near and dear to all of our hearts, I think. All right, this is Dan, who's an SKC fan in Chicago. So this is also a good show for him. We saw Matt Beisler with a long throw assist on Icopara's goal to beat NYCFC this weekend. So he writes, can you remember a time when Klinsmann actually used a long throw in a competition for the national team, like, say, in the World Cup? And so he's wondering, why wouldn't we use long throws the way Beisler and Sporting Kansas City did over the weekend for the national team?
Size of the field is different. In most FIFA competitions, you're going to have a wider field. This field is the minimum width, which is 70 yards, I think. And the throw-in is a lot more dangerous when it's that much closer. When you move it back 5-10 yards, you're going to have a goalkeeper. The goalkeeper has much more time to react. The defense has more time to react. I don't think it's as good of a play.
Also, though, it takes your whole defense out of position. So if you have, let's say, it depends on who's taking it. If you
right.
if you're fortunate
right back,
enough to have your right. one of your wide players.
When Sheenan Williams
but,
gets the call,
but it doesn't,
you can
but
work
it doesn't
on that.
Do any it really take him out of position any more than, you know, on a corner kick when all the defenders come forward anyway.
I disagree. You're in the middle of the field in the box and you're going to run straight back when you're all the way on the sideline.
It's a different dynamic.
Yeah, you're
yeah.
further away. I
okay,
don't know.
But
I
that's
don't,
that's sort of Beisler like specific it. Is what you're talking about because he's a center back. But what about a long throw in general for the national team? Do you like that? It's like another corner kick.
Do you want it on the national team? Do you
well,
want the
yeah,
rest
I
of
do.
The world to
I
say, look at the Americans
do.
And their long
I
throwing?
Absolutely
no,
do.
The long throwing is not considered.
Greg wants
the reputation of the long throwing is not a good one.
Greg wants
it's not,
the flip
you're right.
throw. He wants to bring the
I don't
flip
care
throw.
How they do it, but it's like another corner kick. Why wouldn't you use it? Why wouldn't
like
you?
It. I don't think you.
I wouldn't be so adamant.
You're serving
about it.
A straight
Look,
on
but
ball.
It has to
it's not like a corner kick. You're serving a straight on it, ball. It, a corner kick has movement.
It's
to
like
the ball.
A corner kick. You're throwing the ball into the mixer, if you will. Now look. Do
if
I think that it should be used every time? Like, do I think? And I've seen teams over the years in many leagues, by the way, who will stop an attack in order to bring up the long throw guy, as opposed to just like throwing it in quickly to a forward. So I just don't think they should do that. But I think they should bring it.
My question is, why are throw-ins? Why two hands have to be on them? Why don't we just throw balls with one hand? Look, we'll close mailbag on one question. Ethan Kerner, Minnesota United, coming into the league, and he has a question. We get this question a lot.
That's a great.
So
question.
Ethan Kerner was 13 when MLS began play. He was a fan of the LA Galaxy. Now,
grew up in South Dakota. It's important,
right? Now Minnesota is coming along, and he says that he's wondering whether he's going to be switching allegiances.
This is the question. Do we stay with whatever team we've arbitrarily chosen, or do we switch to Minnesota? This is a question for all those in the upper Midwest in particular.
What do you
I think if you're in that area, if you're in Minnesota or one of the neighboring states, you switch. You have a local team that is close to you. I don't care why you decided to pick your other team years ago. I mean, this is your chance to go to games every weekend and be a supporter in the flesh. I would take it.
Simon's about to punch you.
No, it's, yeah, I totally don't disagrees. Believe in that kind of fandom, personally. I think that was the lot that you were drawn. And so I think that's – we have it everything. I mean, Greg has to be a Detroit Red Wings fan. I mean, that's the lot you were drawn.
I am a Detroit Red Wings fan.
So, for example –
You know what's really funny, though? Ethan actually now lives in Kansas. So he has a local team that he still doesn't support, and you will appreciate this, Simon. He has said that he will continue to be an LA Galaxy fan.
Very good. I like to hear that. I like to hear that. Although, again, we don't like to preach as to how fans should behave. All right, guys. Let's bring a wrap to this show. You've been listening to Extra Time Radio. If you haven't already figured it out at the end of the show, I'll tell you you've been listening to Extra Time Radio on SiriusXM Channel 94 and MLSsoccer.com. And I'm going to hand the clothes to Jason, just in case it's your last show.
I was going to call Nick with my last moment. I wanted to get the whole band back together.
Precious seconds, Jason.
All right, Dave Roberts, I apologize to you. I thought we were going to answer your question. Maybe they'll answer it next time.
That's your close.
It's so classic, Jason.
We'll see you later in the week. Bye-bye, everyone. We'll be right back.